Happy March to everyone. I spoke with Father and Jesus. They send their love, as they always do, and I give you my peace. Father dictated a letter, as he always does, and this is what he had to say. Dear Team Triland, once again we find ourselves growing in understanding. Many things have taken place this past month that have tried and tested all of you. Always be mindful that this current period of time that you dwell in is your training time. Please enjoy the peace you have and stop complicating your lives with too many outside sources. Sunday has and always should be a day of rest for you and your family. My son has spoken about this many times. Yes, family is the most important thing to me. You and your families are very important to me, and all must be healthy, physically, mentally, but also spiritually. Some of your family members do not come and seek my grace anymore. They question why they even need to come. My help and strength come in many forms, not alone by just asking. A person must make an effort. I have never turned one soul away that has asked for help, but I do and always will test them. Some seem to think they can live their lives and also on their own do this. They do not need my help. That is a very sad statement. I will tell you that the time is even shorter. What do I mean by this statement? Society is on the verge of collapse. Financial institutions will fail shortly, and governments will collapse, including my precious United States of America. It is because of ignorance, ego, politics, and greed that all of this will happen. My son will stand in the center of all this chaos and try to open the eyes of billions so they will see me for who I really am. I know that some of you still have your doubts about all of this. I am asking much of you, but I have also given much to you. I have never asked one thing of a soul to do that I have not supported, taught, and defended when needed. Do you think I have done any less for you? Some are no longer with us because they could no longer bear this burden, and they are better off now not being with us. I need you to be strong. If you have questions, then ask me. You also may ask my son. There can be no more doubt. When I tell you the time is short, I am really meaning it. So much is going to happen within this year alone. If we, the team I speak of, have any doubt, we will break apart and crumble. I will, over the next few months, give you more information. Please have no fear. Some of you worry about your families. Please do not. I will protect all of them. Do you think maybe you will come up against something that you cannot handle? Really? Do you not know that I see everything? Trust in me, and I will keep you all safe. My son has commanded all of your angels to keep you safe. They will. Worry about nothing. Trust, believe, and have faith in me. All of this was spelled out in my plan way before I spoke even a word aloud, before I formed one thing, before I gave not even one command. I have all of this figured out. No, my love is great for all of you. I will surely keep you safe. I always stand by those who do as I ask of them, even when it seems crazy to the rest of the world, right? Have I ever let one soul down? Nope. My love is too great for that. Much will be discussed in the meeting today. Please pay attention. Stay focused. These meetings will take on even more depth than they have in the past. It is important that you learn as much as you can now. I give all of you now a special strength, a special courage, and I give all of you more love now than I have in the past. Be strong. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Okay. Let's see. This past Sunday, Sarasota departed. I thought I would share with you briefly some of the things that happened in my congregation. My dad came. He works in the realm of the millennia. These are the souls that are so far away from Father that millennia have passed. He said he brought three more from that realm. So in totality, over the last 4 years, my dad has brought 20 three people from that realm. He said, we need more prayers. It's getting even more difficult to get them to listen and understand. Brilliance and I spoke about this, and she said, how do you even pray for these people? In general, we need to ask our Heavenly Father to open their hearts and to open their understanding. Because my father was telling me, my dad, I should say, was telling me that he talks to these souls and they just have no concept of what he's even saying. So I'm going to ask everybody, not just for the realm my father's working in, but for all souls in general, when we pray, ask Father to open their hearts and their understanding so they can at least get some idea of what's being said to them. Before the service started, a number of people stopped by. President Lincoln was one of them. I was a little surprised, and he said, the slaves need prayers more than ever. It is still an issue with many hearts. Please do not forget us. I said, okay. Last service for the departed, two harlots came to me. The same two came this time. They thanked me, and they said they still need many prayers, but things are getting a little better for them. I have been praying for servicemen and women that fought in the wars, no matter what side they were on. And General Patton showed up, and he thanked me for all that I've been praying for, and I'm going to encourage everyone to do the same, and he asked for more prayers as well. Chief Katakitchin came, and he thanked all of us for all our prayers for all of his nations and all his people, and he said it is really helping. He said, please don't stop praying, though. Another woman stepped in front of me, and she was holding an aborted child, and she said, you always pray for us, but please continue and ask others for more prayers as well. So I'm asking for more prayers. Al Capone came to me. He told me he brought three more of his friends to be sealed. He was kind of giddy. It was kind of nice to see him that way. And then I would also ask that everyone would remember the realm of the Al-Qaeda, because these men have been lied to their entire life. The faith doesn't even really exist, the church that they think they created. I did a little research, and they believe that the Archangel Gabriel came and told their Allah, or whoever his lead, Muhammad, that he should start this whole new religion. And I talked with Gabriel, and he shook his head, no, I have nothing to do with that. Just like the Mormons think the Archangel Michael came and spoke to their leader, it didn't happen. This was all Satan doing his thing, creating confusion and complicating things, and faith is not that complicated. We all know that. So I would ask you to please remember these other groups. And I know that during the week of the preparatory service, Father moves many hearts, and this is what confuses most new apostolics, because they think that this week is for us to pray for all these groups, and it's not. It's for you and I to have our hearts open, to forgive anybody that's harmed us, to not let anything distract us at any time from what our purpose is, and that is to be an example. And someone last Sunday asked me, what is the whole reason why our Father does this? And I said, it's just merely a preparation for when we become a bride. He's going to send us back here to help people we've never met, we don't even know, and he's going to ask us to extend his grace to them, and that's what we do now. Anybody have any questions up to this point?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Yes?
No.
Nope. Okay. Part of the vow that you take is to defend the Apostles' Doctrine. I probably should have been more specific with that. The Apostles' Doctrine is the Ten Articles of Faith or the Apostles' Creed. I'm going to run through it really quickly because I want to make sure everybody understands. This note will be posted on the website. I can email everybody the Apostles' Creed as well. And basically it is, I believe in God the Father, the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe Jesus Christ, the only begotten of Son. He died. He rose from the dead. He's going to come again. The third article is, I believe in the Holy Spirit. The fourth is, I believe that Jesus Christ rules his church with apostles. The fifth is, I believe those designated by God for a ministry are ordained only by apostles. The sixth is, I believe in holy baptism with water. It's the first step to renewing a human being. Seven is, we believe in Holy Communion, instituted by the Lord himself in memory of his fully valid sacrifice. Eight, I believe those baptized with water must, through an apostle, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is our sealing. Nine, I believe the Lord Jesus will return as surely as he ascended into heaven, take to himself the first fruits of the dead and living. This is the return of the Lord. And the tenth article is, I believe I am obliged to obey the worldly authorities, providing no godly laws are hereby transgressed. Okay? Probably should have brought that up the first time we ever had a meeting. I'm doing it now. All of our butts are covered. I wanted to review with everybody how to remove a curse. And this came up because Blazar, and I had a brief conversation with all of those of his family that have been passing and all the suicides that are taking place. If you have more than one suicide taking place in a family, then that's a big red flag. That's a huge red flag that there's a curse on the family. And I want to make sure everybody remembers how to do that. And all you have to do is that you pray in Father's name. You can also pray in Jesus' name and just say, I now remove all the curses from, and say the family's name. And then you must also say those living and those who have passed away. And the curse will be completely removed. And you thank our Father and put it in His will. Okay? Any questions about that?
Can we proactively remove any curses that we may not even be aware of in our own lineage, in our own families?
You can.
Okay.
I have. My family was a whole bunch of gypsies, and they loved putting curses on people. So I removed all the curses from my family, and I also removed any curse that one of my ancestors or relatives may have cast on somebody else. Good question.
Great idea. Great idea.
I was hoping that every month that you guys would think about things that are on your heart, and you would email me. I sent an email out on Wednesday asking if anybody had anything they wanted to discuss. I want to make this more interactive, so I want to start creating a hot list of topics that we can discuss at the meetings. I know we go over a lot of things, and sometimes we go to the wayside. In that same vein, I created a list with all of the team meeting notes that we had, because Lightstream asked, is there any way that we could do a search for these things? So what I did was I took all the notes and I put them all in one document, and I will email everyone a copy of it, and then I'll ask Fred to post it on the website. And what you can do is do a Control F, and you can type in some topic. It'll take you right to whatever meeting that was, and then you'll know when you go into the website what you should go listen to as far as the recording goes, because the notes, they don't go into detail about anything. Again, I'm just going to reiterate that notes are just briefly for me to remember what we're going to discuss, and then we elaborate more as we talk about it. So at the end of the meeting, I'll email everybody, and then we'll add the monthly notes every month to this document so it's up to date. Okay? I need everybody to always be on their guard and take nothing for face value. I would still encourage you to vet your team now and then if something doesn't feel right. I, about 3 weeks ago, went to go see Father, and I was kind of in a down mood, and I sat across from him. Actually, we did the whole hug thing. I hugged Father, I hugged Jesus, I hugged HS. We sat down at a table across, and within about 15 seconds of Father speaking to me, I knew it wasn't him. And I stood up, and I killed the two things that were pretending to be Jesus and HS, and I nearly cut the head off of Satan, who was the one across from me impersonating Father, but I pogged him, and he flew back before I got a chance to cut his head off. And I looked at Father and said, do you really think that this was necessary? And he kind of sternly looked at me and said, I always need you to be on guard. Never let your guard down. Always be aware of your surroundings. And I was a little upset, I'll be honest, and I said, I'd really like to just kill Satan right now and beat the crap out of him, and then you can bring him back, and then I'll just beat the crap out of him again, and you can bring him back. And I got no answer from him, which means that we won't be doing that. So I threw Satan as far as I could out of the palace, and then Father and I sat down, and we had our little conversation. We discussed much, but I need to make sure everybody understands that he can infiltrate your space at any time, and he can pretend to be somebody that he's not. Now, in that same vein, Blazar had a situation, and I asked him if he would share that with everyone. But before Blazar tells his little story, he had made a statement to me which I thought was very profound. He said, Jesus overcame Satan. He did not defeat him, and we need to do the same thing. Okay? It is not our place to defeat him. We're going to do that in the end battle. But what we do need to do is understand all of his tactics and not let him get us ruffled, okay? And I'm embarrassed to say he still gets my goat. He still ruffles me now and then. I'm getting better. When he shows up, I don't even allow him to talk to me. I get some duct tape out, I duct tape his mouth, and I throw him as far as I can. Now, Blazer, if you please share your experience where you believe there was a teammate in your space.
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. What happened was is I was going along my day, and I was driving around in the car, and I had a situation where it felt like someone was pushing me out of my body, like my soul was getting pushed out, okay? I would lose control of my physical body. And this happened to me like 3 or 4 times. And I checked my space, but I was also driving, so I needed some help, and I called Lindsay. So Lindsay was with me, and I asked her if she could check my space. And so we found that my aura had some dark stuff, like dark goo around it. And so, you know, we worked on that. And then she goes, okay, we need to go into our each chakra to find out if we have anything hiding in there. And so when I went into, I was telling her, as we were talking, she was looking in my space and checking my chakras. I said, I have a headache. And so she's like, okay, go look inside your crown chakra. So I looked in my crown chakra, and there was a teammate, and I saw it was Dan, Quasar. And so I was looking at him. I said, well, what are you doing here? And so I asked him, I said, hey, I don't know what's going on. If you could please leave right now, because, you know, all these weird things are happening. So we escorted Quasar out, and, you know, I explained that to Lindsay, and Lindsay's like, okay. And I said, but Lindsay, my chest hurts. It was like someone was stepping on my chest. And so I was like, I can't, you know, I couldn't even really concentrate. It was just bothering me so much. So Lindsay went into my, I asked Lindsay to step into my heart chakra, and there she found Quasar. And Quasar was talking to a demon, a very big demon. And so Lindsay told me, I said, what was going on? I said, okay, kill the demon, right? And so we killed the demon, and I said, okay, let's bind Quasar to see, you know, what's going on. And Quasar was, this Quasar, the evil one, was saying, you know, everything is fine. Don't worry, I have this handled. And I just, the pain in my chest was just so hard. I said, we have to get him out of here, because it was just such a weird feeling. And it was just so disconcerting that you had a teammate inside your space without even asking if you can come into the space, you know. Especially when we do healings, we ask if we can come into other people's spaces. So we bound him, and I was just so put off by that whole situation. I said, the next time, I looked at him, I said, the next time you come into my space, you will be destroyed, you know, because it was such a violation. It was just so weird. Everything was off, you know. And so we conversed, talked to my general, and we discussed it. And then she told me to talk to Triland, and Triland found out that this was Satan guised as Quasar, just to cause division within the team. So the concern that I had was, how can I prevent this? You know, and it was just what Triland told us. There's really not much we can do about it. If he came up with something new, it'd be great to find out. That's it.
I did come up with something new. This week I've been doing something different during my dailies, that when I get to the point after I've created my POG shield, what I then do is I change the light, that's a light blue energy, I change it to as white a light as I can, and I release that light within the plug bubble that I've created around myself, and I make it as intense and as white as I can. And when I do that, I feel that there are things that have attached themselves to me, or there's things that are in my aura that actually get wiped out. So I need you guys every day to change your plug color from blue to pure white. Fill your space with it until you feel everything is done. My body actually freckles every time I do it, and then when my body stops freckling, I know I can change it back to the light blue that it is, and I actually feel better during the week. So I'd like everyone to start doing that. I actually added it to the dailies that Brilliance created, and we could repost that on the site tonight. Anybody have any questions about what Blazar discussed? I'll just make this quick point. Go ahead.
Well, I have first a question, then a comment. Okay. You said you turn it back to the blue. Why even do that? Why not leave it white?
Because white is actually a very aggressive color.
Okay.
It's almost caustic. If you were to keep it as pure white as you can, it's irritating.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, obviously I know that wasn't me, and Trilane, you and I were together when this was happening. And I guess you're going to tell us some things, but my first question is, if we don't feel good, it's not right. I mean, is that just a good enough feeling? If we have pain anywhere, then it's just not right. And if it was me and he pogged me, I'm not going to die.
No. Exactly.
So, I think we're almost better to be safe than sorry. What do you think?
Correct. I agree. And I was going to say that Satan's biggest thing now, again, is to create separation in the team. And he's going to do it by impersonating teammates. We all know that not one of us is going to show up in anybody else's space unless we've contacted that person and asked them if we can. And there really isn't any reason for you and I to be in each other's spaces unless we're giving each other a healing. So, Satan's just kind of given up his newest tactic because he's such a fool by doing what he did. So if anybody shows up in each other's spaces, automatically it is not us. It's him. And I would say pog first and ask questions later.
Right. And so I have a follow-up question to that, if I could.
Yes.
So now you've mentioned that when we think about someone, then we could show up in their space. But that's just a fleeting thought. Oh, I wonder how Blazar's doing. I haven't talked to him for a while. But it's not like I'm just going to hang around.
No.
Right?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. If you don't mind, I just want to make one comment that we often talk about not entertaining spirits, and so we've all been aware. So to answer kind of two questions, Quasar, our feelings are a barometer for what's going on inside us spiritually. And any time that we're not feeling, especially emotionally, anytime we're not feeling joy, peace, happiness, all the godly feelings, all the feelings associated with God, that's a barometer for there's something going on. That being said, I think for those that have been on the team a long time, initially, we had talked about not entertaining spirits, not allowing them in our space. Entertaining for me, and Trilane and I talked about this, when I entertain someone as a host, I invite them in, I make a meal, I clean my house. We have to even be more vigilant because uninvited entities, spirits, demons, Satan himself come into our space. And it has been when we were vetting our teams, because for folks that have been on this team for quite some period of time, we had to destroy our teams and continue to vet our teams. And that may even be when you have your weekly meetings with your team, pogging everybody, don't trust or believe anything in your space. For me, I don't get the same sensations that other teammates have when I'm around evil. Some people can feel, chest pains. Once in a while, I'll get a metallic taste in my mouth, but that manifestation of evil can feel different from one another. For me, the majority of the time that evil recently has been around me or in my space, it's the absence of that warm, yummy, fantastic energy feeling that that comes with God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, or the beings that that serve him. And so just to reiterate the vigilance that, that we need, Pog, don't trust anything or anyone in your space, because we've already seen it with what Blazar talked about. He can come in any disguise that he wants. And Tryland himself had mentioned how Satan is posed as God, as Jesus, as the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's disguised himself in any and every way.
He sure can. And just because he appears that way, the minute he opens his mouth, he deceives himself. Because his energy will change, and it'll almost mimic exactly the person that they're that he's copying. But his intonation and what he says shows exactly who he is at every moment. So again, try what is in front of you. Take nothing for face value. Always be on your guard. And he can hear us a little bit right now. I know he can. But anyway, I got a phone call today from a teammate who was telling me that an experience had happened, and someone involved with that experience shared part of the information with a family member, and then the family member took it upon themselves to share that information with somebody else. But when they did, they didn't give all the information. Because they didn't give all the information, it created confusion and worry and also a little bit of fear. I need to tell everybody from this day forward, I'm going to ask you to be very cautious with who you share anything with. If it's within the team, we all have the ability to understand what's going on. Because we have these meetings, we share with each other all of the information. I'm going to ask you that if you're going to share something, you can share it with your spouse, okay? But I don't want what's currently happening with us to be shared with the general public anymore, and even our extended families, and I'll tell you why. Because when they're talking about these things, there may be somebody in the church who hears what they're saying, and they're going to run to the leaders of the church. And because the apostle knows that we exist, when he hears this information, Satan's going to go and twist it. And what he's going to do, and I know how he works, he's going to make them believe that you and I are creating hokey, made-up problems, and then we're coming up with these fantastic solutions that make us all look like we're the heroes. That is not what we're doing. And I don't want to give him any cannon fodder to turn what is a blessing for the congregation into a curse for the rest of us. So be very careful with who you share the information with. If you are going to tell an extended family member, then you tell them this. You need to keep this to yourself. I don't want you telling the aunts and uncles. I don't want you telling all the kids. I'm sharing this with you because this has something to do with increasing your faith. I know that all the stories I've been telling for all these years, they're so amazing and they're fantastic and they're crazy and they're nutty. Well, Father's point of we are now in the end time, he's also prefacing the fact that Satan is so desperate now that he's going to do everything he can to make us look like fools. He's already done it a couple times. The church has not come after us per se. They have all come after me. And our character will be assassinated down the road. Our family names must stand on their own 2 feet. We are not crazy. We're not flakes. We don't make up stories. That's not who we are. And Father will go out of his way to protect us, but I'm just throwing this little warning out right now for all of our sake, okay? Does anybody have any questions?
I would just have a comment. Being an ex-minister and having the responsibility of being a rector, there were a lot of things that went on in the congregation that my wife would hear about, and she would come directly to me and ask me, and I would tell her it's none of her business, okay? There's a lot of things that we discuss on the call. She'll ask me, what's going on the team? Oh, you know, certain things I tell her. Other things I keep it from her. Because, you know, there's a confidentiality that we have to keep. There's certain things that people don't understand. And just, you know, just as Tryland mentioned, You know, we don't want to give any kind of excuse for them to shut everything, to give us more cannon fodder to attack us. Because I think we have enough with what we have already, you know. So just be mindful of what you say, because it can come and it can affect the team and the way we work. That's it.
Thank you. I have asked Lightstream and Atmos to share the story that was kind of the catalyst for us discussing this right now, but Atmos isn't on the phone call yet. He had to go pick up Danielle at the airport, so I'm kind of biding time until he can make the call. So I'm going to ask Brilliance. She was going to discuss the Ten Commandments with all of us so that we look at it a little bit different. So, Brilliance, when you're ready.
Okay, thank you. This experience, and I've shared it with some people, so forgive me if this is redundant, but I had a profound experience several months ago while I was meditating. And during the meditation, I'm one of those individuals that never removes my armor. It's always on. And during this particular meditation, I was not in my armor. But as I was thinking about what's going on here, why am I not in this armor, a new armor appeared, kind of like a transformer, and it covered my body. And then as I looked down at my chest plate, the Ten Commandments were inscribed into the metal of the chest plate. And I was looking at it, and I thought, wow, this is really fascinating, the Ten Commandments on the chest plate protecting my heart chakra. Well, as I was looking at this, all Ten Commandments lit up, and then 2 through 9 darkened. And it was, so the first commandment was lit up. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And as I read it, it got bright, and then it dissipated. Then the second one lit up, and it was super bright. And so I read the second commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And I was, as I'm reading this, I had the expectation that after I read it, that the commandment would then, just like the first one, kind of dissipate and the next one would light up. But it didn't. It just stayed bright. And I was confused, and I was staring at it. And then this voice or this information or wisdom, I don't know how to explain it, swept over my heart to really concentrate on what the meaning of this is. Because we all think, not we all, I should say, when I was younger and learned the Ten Commandments, I was taught that using the name of the Lord thy God in vain meant using the name God, Jesus, outside of praise, worship, and prayer. And so as I'm like, okay, well, I don't use those words outside worship and prayer. Why isn't this light going out? Why aren't we moving on to the next one? And it swept over my heart that definition that I just gave is the surface of what that meaning is. But then it got deeper, and the question swept across my heart. Have you ever manipulated a situation, a circumstance, or another person by utilizing the fact that you are a Christian and a God-fearing Christian to pursue your own agenda? Have you ever used, you know, the fact that you're a God-fearing Christian or you're active in the faith or you're a child of God to get closer to someone, to have them trust you, to manipulate them? In fact, there's an organization that my mom is involved with. I pray for all the time. It's a pyramid scheme that she doesn't see. And the reason that she won't see it is because the leader of the pyramid scheme said that he was called by God himself. And they read scripture and they talk about God all the time. But in the meantime, they're raking these people for the last 5 years of their money, making promises that have still not come into fruition. And when I asked her about, you know, what is it about this organization? You know, nothing's come into fruition. Are there any timelines? What do they have for you? You know, she says, but they're godly people. You know, we go to church. We talk about scripture. The youth choir comes and sings for us. That's another way that the Lord's name in vain can be used. When we assert our own agenda or manipulate a situation, a scenario, or another human being to get closer to them, maybe to buy from us, maybe to get them to believe that what we're saying is more credible than how they initially would have felt because we're God-fearing people. And as soon as that wisdom came across my heart, that commandment darkened and the next one lit up. thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I thought, well, you know, that's an easy one. You go to church every Sunday. Even my non-opus dog husband gets up early and gets the kids to Sunday school with me. And it didn't go away right away. So I paused and I waited for the same, okay, I guess there's more to this. And it was that the Sabbath is more than just going to church. That on the Sabbath, the day of rest, it is rest for us, for our hearts, for our soul. It's not simply going to church. And with two young ones, any of you that have children or had young ones, you know that it's not always the most peaceful thing getting your kids to church by 9 o'clock for Sunday school. We have to fight for that peace. This is a day for our rest, our spiritual rest. And if we don't take full advantage of the spiritual strength we're given, the forgiveness we're given, and the sanctity of that day, and fight as much as we can that no matter what we have going on in the rest of the week or that afternoon, we fight for that day to be the Sabbath, to be the day of rest for the entire day, and take full advantage of what that day has to offer. And also it was explained to me that we can find Sabbath in every single day. Every day we wake up and we thank the Lord for this day. It's not as simple as attending a church function or checking the box, am I in the choir, do I get to play the organ today? It's doing it with the right heart's attitude. And the time ever that comes that I'm just checking the box for things, but my heart's not in it, and I'm not doing it to worship my Heavenly Father, then I have to decide why I'm doing that, because that's not honoring the Sabbath. So then that one darkened, and the honor thy father and thy mother lit up. Anyone who knows my history, I always joke with God and say, the fourth commandment is the hardest commandment of them all. That's why you added the extra prize at the end. I mean, it doesn't say thou shalt not steal, and your days will be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gave thee. So not only do you get the blessing of being obedient on the fourth commandment of honoring our parents, but the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now that one didn't stay lit up for too long because I'd already had a conversation with the Holy Spirit. And just to share with everyone, you know, I have a very difficult relationship with my mom for many. There was an addict in the house, and she was a codependent enabler, and she had a horrible childhood. So I'm still trying to find a way to have a relationship with her. I mean, on the surface we do, and it's very respectful, and my kids love her. We don't have that deep, meaningful relationship that every daughter envisions having with their mom. And this one didn't stay lit up very long because I already had kind of had an experience, and I'll share it really quickly. I was driving one day, and my mom called me, and she was really feisty with me, and she was manhandling me, and I didn't even know what happened. And so we got off the phone, and I looked up at this guy, and I said, really, Father? It's totally not fair. I have to continue to work on this. She's mean to me. She doesn't get it. She's, you know, this. I've been trying for years. I've cried about having a relationship. I prayed about it. I've tried, you know, ignoring her. I've tried sitting her down and saying, let's, you know, how can we define this relationship? I've tried all of this. Why is this still my responsibility? Because that was me being a little rebellious human being. And the Holy Spirit, because he's such a gentleman, quietly asked me, well, Brilliant, would you like Father to remove your wisdom, your perspective, your depth, your understanding, so that you won't be held accountable for managing this relationship anymore? Well, and I quickly said, oh, my gosh, am I speaking out loud? No, hey, whoa, no, I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue. Sorry, were you listening? Is this thing on? So I read the fourth one, and that one came up and went down really quickly because of that previous experience last year. I just kind of giggled when I had to read that one. So then we got to the fifth one, thou shalt not kill. And I said, okay, I thought, okay, 5 through 10, I'm good, because I've never killed anyone, I've never stolen, so I took a big deep breath, and I joyfully was thinking we were going to get through this really quick. So the fifth one came up, thou shalt not kill. I read it, and I said, well, never killed anyone. I'm not even a hunter. The most I've ever probably, quote-unquote, killed was a fish, because my family are fishermen, so not a human being. I'm good here. And it didn't go away. So I took a big deep breath and said, okay, and I waited for the information. And it came across, have you ever killed someone's joy? Have you ever killed someone's peace? Have you ever taken, I don't know, come into your home after a really rough day, and your kids are excited to see you, or someone's excited to see you, and you've killed that opportunity to plug into the joy and the energy and the blessing that is family? Have you ever killed an opportunity for someone to have the spotlight because you were so desperately wanting to be in the spotlight yourself? Have you ever killed an opportunity to receive a blessing or to be a blessing for someone else because you didn't have time, you didn't feel like it, or you just didn't want to do it? Yeah. So after that all filtered in and I had, you know, some time to think about whether or not I'd ever done that, and of course being a rotten human being, there were times that I personally could identify that, yeah, you know what? Yeah, so I've never killed a human being as far as murder's concerned, but there have been opportunities where I have killed joy, I have killed peace, I have killed those things that go against that commandment. So I was excited to get away from that commandment. I even shake thinking about the depth of the information that was given, and I couldn't wait to get to number 6 because I've never cheated on my husband. I am not a cheater. I'm the most fierce, loyal person you could ever imagine. I'm not a cheater. I'm not an adulterer, so I couldn't wait for, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. Awesome. I read it, and I thought it would go away. And it didn't. So I waited for the information. And the information was, have you ever cheated on our Heavenly Father? Have you ever cheated on your Lord Jesus? Have you ever cheated on the Holy Spirit by serving another spirit? Have you ever neglected to plug into our Heavenly Father and chosen to entertain or allow or follow another spirit, demon, entity? Because by making the wrong decision, and that, those are easy to determine because we know they're not godly. Have you ever, by following other spirit, we're committing adultery against our fiancé, our future groom, Jesus Christ? And that was really heavy. Because although I'm not a cheater, in my relationships or with my friends, as a mere mortal, of course, there have been times where I'm a spiritual adulterer at times. And so that was really humbling because I hadn't considered it that way. And so now I'm with this information, I'm required to be much more vigilant about not being a spiritual adulterer. So then that went down, and then thou shalt not steal came up. And I thought, okay, thou shalt not steal. And it's very similar to the same concept as thou shalt not kill. But the difference in killing is you're destroying something. Versus stealing when you're taking something. Have you ever taken someone's peace? Have you ever taken someone's opportunity to be promoted, to be acknowledged? Have you ever had someone come to you so excited to share something with you? And because whatever mood, you know, I happened to be in or I didn't have time for it, I stole their enjoyment. I stole their excitement. I stole their inspiration in that moment, because we're required to be inspirers. We're teachers and we're servants. So it's the same concept of the killing, but the difference is when you kill something, it's dead. When you steal something, you're actually taking it from somebody else. So I thought, okay, I'm really super happy to be done with all those, because 8, 9, and 10, I got this. Because I don't lie about people. I got this, so I couldn't wait. Number 8, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And I assumed that it was going to go out right away, because with 2 small children and a full-time working job, I don't even have that many friends that I could even, you know, lie about anyways. And it didn't go away, so I waited for the wisdom, and the wisdom came. Have you ever been in a situation where you're relaying information about somebody else to a third party? Have you ever manipulated the information, a situation, the story, so that you seem more right when you're trying to describe a situation between 2 people? Have you ever been in an argument? Let's say, you know, I get in an argument with one of my sisters, and I happen to be talking to my other sister. And when I relayed what happened to the sister that wasn't involved, have I ever embellished? Have I ever story told? Have I ever tried to manipulate, massage, or change maybe the honest truth, fill it with my own emotion and my own perspective so that I could, so that that person would be on my side. Because in a way that's bearing false witness. I mean, human beings do that all the time. Whether it's to get someone on our side, whether it's to get someone to believe us, we add a few more details because it makes our story seem more right. So just think about that. So that was pretty heavy, and I'm like humbled beyond belief. So I said, okay, well, you know what? 9 and 10, I got. Because I thank our Heavenly Father every day that I was not born a jealous, covetous person. I didn't have a lot growing up. So when you don't have a lot of options, you don't have choices as a child. When you become an adult, you don't get, you know, say, well, I want this over this. So I was like, okay, these last two got to be easy, squeezy, breezy, because I'm not jealous of anything. I feel so blessed compared to how I was raised or in the environment or the options or the food, the clothes, the home that I had. I'm not a jealous person. And, of course, I'm saying this as the next one's lighting up, and I'm like, I am not that kind of person that ever thinks, oh, it's not fair that so-and-so has that. I want it. I want what that person has. There's only one time in my life that I confess that I ever may have been like that, and that's when we were trying to get pregnant, and every person in the universe was getting pregnant except me. So aside from that, I was arguing with this commandment as it lit up. Besides that, and I already asked for forgiveness that I wanted to be pregnant, and everyone in the universe seemed to be, you know, who could drink water seemed to be pregnant except me. I'm not jealous of other people. So again, the 9th commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And the 10th, of course, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that's thy neighbor's. So I thought I had this. We're done. We can move on with this meditation experience. And so the 9th one lit up. And I'm like, okay, got this. There's no one. There's nobody that I wish I had their house. And I waited, and then it swept over. The information, the wisdom came. Have you ever been dissatisfied with your own house? So even though I wasn't interested in particularly having somebody else's house, and again, when we think about what house meant back in biblical times, they were big clans with, you know, your house included, your servants and you know, your wives and your children and the tents or the homes that they had, the property they had. And I've not been jealous of what somebody else has had, but what the wisdom was, have you ever been dissatisfied with the blessing of house that Father's given to you? Because dissatisfaction in itself means that you covet something different. So it might not be that, oh, I covet Tryland's house. I wish that I had his house. If there's any dissatisfaction in my own house about how my house has been given to me, what Father has given to me as a blessing, any dissatisfaction with that, that is coveting something else. Because how can you covet? How can you be dissatisfied with something if there's not something more that you want? And so that one went away, and the last one came up. And as I read it, it's the same kind of feeling as the 9th, but manservant, maidservant, ox, ass, anything that is thy neighbor, any position in life, a job, a car, a home, anything in our life. And it may not even be that, oh, we want what so-and-so has. We want what the neighbor has. I want what one of my teammates has. It's deeper than that, because the minute that we're dissatisfied with what Father has given us, it's the entry into coveting. Because with our own dissatisfaction, and again, gratitude, our hearts can't serve two masters. So we find dissatisfaction in our heart, dissatisfaction in our heart. The first thing you want to get rid of that spirit, that feeling, find what you're grateful for. Because our hearts can't serve two masters. And gratitude replaces dissatisfaction. And again, dissatisfaction implies that we covet something more, something else. We feel God's holding out on us. We're not where we think we should be, but God has us right where he believes and knows we need to be. So I share that with all of you because it was an amazing, profound, and powerful experience for me. And if there's any benefit that you all could receive from that, I gladly and humbly share it with you. So thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Oh, thank
you.
That
was amazing. That was like, call the choir up, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
It was a service. You know? Really.
And I tell you what, I second that. It should be. And I hope it is soon.
No, I can't wait till, Heidi, you get to teach all the apostles on the face of the earth that example of the Ten Commandments. I mean, all of Christianity needs to hear that. It's profound. It's very profound. Wow.
Yeah, to your point, I had that meditative experience over 6 months ago, and even as I speak about it, that has changed my life. And even as I speak today, I'm humbled. I'm shaking. I'm teary-eyed in humbleness of that wisdom. So, I appreciate your kind feedback. I truly that information there changed my life.
As it will ours.
That's why I love the Holy Spirit. He's a gentleman. He didn't even force feed it to me. He just, you know, asks the right questions and whispers the right things. And, you know, when someone figures it out themselves, it's really a really powerful, life-changing moment.
I think that's the joy of this team. All of us have amazing gifts, and we're very unique. And as we bring forth information to each other, you know, that's why these conference calls aren't for Tri-Land to sit there and tell us what to do, but this is a fellowship, and it's so important for us to be on these calls and glean this wonderful information that Father gives us.
Amen.
Well said.
Hold on one second. Okay. Romana, Lightstream. Could you please tell your part of the story? I'm in the process of getting hold of Atmo, so you can tell his part, but go ahead.
Sure, sorry, I had to take it off my mute. So the part of my story was 2 Sundays ago. Well, let me back up. There was, for probably since about October, the feeling at church has just been this really strange, awkward feeling there. And as the holidays approached, I can't even describe it. It was almost awful going into our church building. And I kept on, you know, telling Burst, you know, I was like, something's not right here. Something's not right. You know, we were there basically every Saturday from just after, well, Thanksgiving all the way into the new year. And we were, I was doing flowers or we were cleaning or something. And each time I'm there, I'm like, man, I just don't, something is not right here. And it always felt like that there was this, I don't know how to describe it other than there was this haze in the church. But I couldn't ever find what it was. And I'm like, well, you know, it'll finally eventually appear, but, you know, I can't put my finger on it. Like, I couldn't see anything. I could feel it, but I couldn't see anything. So, anyway, Atmos, he had picked up on the same thing, and so I know that he had a conversation with Tri-Land, and then two Sundays ago, Quasar was at church in Kalamazoo, and Atmos and Nucleus and I were there. And after church, we all, you know, got together, and it was discussed that there is something in the church. So we all went into the sacristy, and Quasar had prayed with us, and we were trying to figure out. We were all going in, you know, just trying to figure out what was going on in the church, and we were just kind of just going through and just trying to see what we could see in the space. And while he was praying, I had seen around the church that there was like this nasty, the only way I can describe it is like this nasty barbed wire, because I had, I'd put up I had angels around the church, but the barbed wire was keeping them from, you know, I guess from coming in closer to the church. They had like a perimeter set up, and I couldn't, it was just this nasty barbed wire. Well, that's what I could see. And I could still see the haze. And I know Quasar, he was praying about, you know, removing any kind of curse that had come out while he was, you know, praying. And then Atmos, he, during the prayer, he could see a portal, and it was where our cross is. It was behind the wall, almost like outside in the yard. And so he had grabbed that portal and threw it off into a field somewhere. But we could still feel and see, like he could see something that was wrapped around the cross inside the church. And what was coming from that was basically this haze or this smoky haze that was throughout the church. And during this few months period, people's behaviors had changed in the church. It's just, it was just strange, you know, like the joy was just sucked out of everyone and everything. And it was actually kind of depressing during the holidays and during that time. So we knew that something was attached to the church. So it came to be that I was to basically investigate the situation. But after we were done praying and we were talking about the situation, I had to go home and give myself a healing. I said, I can't, I have to go home. I have to do a healing. Like I was practically, I was coming out of my skin. I'm like, before I can do anything, I need to do a healing on myself. So I went home, did a healing on myself, and, you know, felt better with the situation. And so I proceeded, before I went into the church, I just felt like I had to switch out my lead for whatever reason. It just inside myself, I needed to switch out my lead angel again. So, because I've been going through different cycles. So I actually, Solomon, he's the way that, it's funny the way that Jeremy, Amos had described him, when I was saying, I says he's almost like my warrior. He almost looks like a Viking. Like he's ready to go, ready to go into battle. Here we go, folks. So we went into the church. I was up by the cross, and I was just kind of feeling it out, seeing what was going on there. I could see something finally attached onto the cross, and I could see like this. It's almost like an umbilical cord is the only way I can describe it. I kept on saying it was like a tube. So I ended up following that. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. I get to take a trip into hell, you know. But I didn't end up in hell. I followed it, and it was strange because other times, you know, I've had really terrible chest pains and whatnot. I didn't have. It was uncomfortable once I got there, but it wasn't like I knew I wasn't in hell. But once I got there, my feet were on the ground, and ground was just. It was almost. It was not hard, but it wasn't like quicksand, but it was like spongy, or it was just a funny feeling. And when I got there, I could see the ground looked, there was nothing there other than ground, and all I could see was like this root system. And it was almost like if you know what like brain synapses are, as it's like your brain's firing, and it's just like this root system into the ground. My team and I, we couldn't see anything other than that, but I knew something was there. So my team and I, we took our swords and we just started stabbing into the ground, trying to find whatever's attached to this root system. Well, after a few minutes of that, all of a sudden this like three-headed serpent thing came up out of the ground and was trying to get us. My team, they were stabbing it with their swords and trying to cut its heads off, and nothing would work. So I started to, I pogged it, and basically from my hands, and basically it just froze. And then once it was frozen, then my team and I, we took our swords and we just chopped it into pieces and killed it. Once we were done with that, I just we just kind of, you know, I knew that we had to be there still, but we were just like walking around. We could still see this root system. I felt uneasy, but there was nothing else there. There was nothing else coming out of the ground. There was nothing. I just felt weird. So after walking around, you know, looking around, it was finally time for us to go. So we went back into the church, and then I started peeling off this thing that was like attached onto the cross, and I peeled that off, and so then I still felt just awkward. So I'm like, okay, we need to run some energy through the church. So I ended up taking our Heavenly Father's energy, His peace and love and joy and His light, and I basically put it in the sun above the church, and I just started just pouring energy through the church. And after, you know, going through all of that, I still just felt uneasy, but I knew what I was doing. There was nothing else I could do. So I finished, and then I had called Triland, and I had talked to him just to discuss the situation, tell him what was going on. And then from that, he had said that it was part of Atmos's training that I was supposed to do my part, and now I had to tell him all the information that I had, and basically and turn it over to him so he could continue on with his training.
Atmos.
So.
First of all, my apologies for being late. I'll pick up kind of after Sunday. What Lauren told you is pretty much dead on. Monday is when it was the day that I decided I had to go in and figure out what was going on. I went back in and found the hairs removed on Monday, so I went into the center of my mind when I got home from work, and I found that the hairs had been removed. I called them hairs. She called them an umbilical cord, really thin and black. They were gone, but there was still a mist. I wasn't sure what to do, and I've learned from listening to the past recordings that basically when in doubt, just start pogging stuff. And that's basically what we did. Myself and my angels just kind of pogged the whole area behind the altar of the church, in the outside in the grass area. And above the mist, out through the mist came like this clear tube. It was like a glass tube, and you couldn't see it until it was pogged. And it went right square into the center of the cross. I knew exactly what we had to do. I knew we had to follow it down to wherever it went and take care of it. So we followed it down to a room that's hard to describe. I knew it was a room. I could see the ground, and it was exactly the way Lauren described it, but for me it was mushy. It felt soft when you stepped on it. And I knew it wasn't hell. I knew obviously it wasn't heaven, and I knew it wasn't a realm or anything like that. It was just completely neutral almost. So I wasn't sure what to do. So the first thing I did was sent 2,000 angels to both flanks to reveal the room, basically to see what was going on, because they were lighting up as they went. Once they did that, we noticed the room was round. So at that point in time, the floor felt weird, so I was like, well, let's just pog that and see what happens. So, you know, the two legions of angels and I are pogging the floor and nothing's happening. So after I did that, I went to the center of the room myself, and I invoked God's triune name. I said, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you will show yourself. As soon as I said that, this dragon, black dragon, comes up out of the ground and it, like, jumped up out of the ground and then came down on top of me as hard as it could. And at the same time he did that, I put my shield in his face and my sword in his heart. And that didn't stop him. As soon as he hit the ground, he was going to attack me again, and my angels pogged him, and he basically froze and hit the ground. And then I was standing there in complete shock and awe for a second, trying to figure out what exactly was going on and if I was slightly insane or what. After I kind of collected myself a bit. I chopped his head off, and he disintegrated. He just disappeared, became energy into the floor. And as soon as that happened, the floor, the entire room changed. It went from a round room to a complete cube. It was a square room. The walls and ceiling became flat and were like white glass. It was weird. And then the only other thing I could think to do after that was, like, again, from previous meetings that I had, or recordings that I'd listened to, I was like, okay, we're going to collapse this room. As we leave, I want it collapsed, and I want the tunnel collapsed, and I want the tube removed as we go up. So that's exactly what happened. My lead angel, I had switched over to Jonathan because I had talked to my counseling angel before we even went down as to what angel I should have in lead, and he said that Jonathan was the strongest for me, anyways, at that point in time. So I switched to Jonathan, and Jonathan said the room was collapsed, the tube was collapsed, so we got to the surface again, removed the tube completely, and it was just completely gone. And at that point in time, the mist was gone. The tube was sealed. And then, again, from previous meetings, I decided we're going to claim this for us, for God. This isn't happening again. So we planted a flag with the New Apostolic logo on it, right square in the center where that hole came up. And I assigned 10 angels to the property and told them that their only goal was to eliminate anything from spiritually, from ever attaching itself to anything physical on the property again, whether it was a New Apostolic property or not. No matter what that property turned into, that could not happen again. So they're there permanently guarding that. Everything seems to have disappeared. The fog's gone, the tube's gone. The church physically inside feels better. And I will tell you that Sunday after that happened, before all this happened, that band practice, it was heavy in there. And I got a massive migraine. And everybody was just kind of at each other's throats, per se. And I ended up having to leave, and I went up to the car and had my team do a hearing on me for about 45 minutes. And after I came back in from that, I felt a lot better, but it still felt heavy. And then the time after that, after I had cleaned everything out, I came back in, and the church physically felt bigger. It felt clean, and I know Lauren has kind of said the same thing. It definitely feels different. So between what she did and what I was able to get done, it feels better. And then another thing is that a future father-in-law, Jamie, sent me a text just in the middle of the day. He said, I've been thinking about you a lot for some reason, and this has been going through my head all day. He said, the root of all evil is man's ego. And that's when it hit me that everything that was attached to that church building and that was in that room and that tube, all of it, was built by the egos and the pride of absolutely every single human being that had come through that building. Whether they be surfing behind the altar or sitting out in the pew or just coming to help a friend clean the church because they needed it. Everybody's pride and ego built that. And Triland suggested that we pog absolutely everybody and the building this past Sunday, and that's what we did. And we really had a really good service. It felt better, but the officiant that served was still, you could tell that it was almost like the Holy Spirit was trying to come through, but he was getting in the way. So it was like, I guess, like you're watching TV and it's completely white fuzz, and then you can see the picture of the Holy Spirit coming through every once in a while, and then he just dims right back out again because the officiant was kind of using his, he was just getting in the way. He wouldn't let the Holy Spirit shine through like he could. And then the other thing, too, is I believe Lauren sent teams out to everybody's homes that goes to the Kalamazoo congregation and others to kind of help clean things up, too, because I know after we cleaned everything up, it still felt like there was a residue on just the people that come in and out of that building all the time, and it has to be cleaned. And I think that's about it in a nutshell.
Okay. Thank you both for sharing. So here's my point. I need everyone
to look into your own congregations where you sit or serve, and I need you to look at the altar area and see if there isn't anything that's attached. I'm going to dispatch teams this Sunday to go take care of all the other congregations across the planet, but I need everyone to take care of their own home congregation, okay? Pride and ego seems to be the theme of everything that's taking place in the last couple months. There's a reason. We are nothing without Father. He doesn't need us to do one thing for him. We need him for everything, and I think that's why he's allowing all this to happen. We will always keep our pride and ego in check. Not going to beat a dead horse. I appreciate everybody's input today in the meeting. I apologize for going over. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add? And then we'll pray.
I have something to say.
Okay.
I think it's very important. We have Thailand. We have generals, and we are colonels. Information must go up. It's very important that we, when we have issues, when we have problems, or even just to say hello, it is very important that we talk to our generals and have let them know our hearts. I guess this is something that I got from the Apostle Wagner. You know, he would have these certain tapes back in the 80s. And he would always discuss it with the ministers that information has to go up in order for this chain of command to be fully in place. We have to tell our generals exactly what is going on. They have to know our hearts. They have to know everything that is going on in order for them to see what information they need to come bring back to us. Information goes up, commands come down. And it's so important, my dear, beloved colonels and generals. Battles have been won and lost by communication. We cannot sit on the sidelines and discuss things sideways. Information has to go up, and the commands come down. Because right now, we are in a rest period. We're at peace right now. And when the situation gets worse and we're actually at war, our generals need to give us commands that we must fulfill with the full authority that we have as colonels. And the same thing goes with the generals to Thailand and Thailand to our Heavenly Father. It's so important that we use communication. We must talk to each other, but also if you cannot get a hold of a general and you can't get a hold of Thailand, you know, discuss things, but you have to talk to your generals. You have to talk to Thailand. Because when we do that, worry, fear, confusion are all removed. They're all removed. Because information is the thing that keeps us on our toes, keeps us nimble, and is very important that we do not keep anything from the generals or Thailand. We have to do that. That's it.
Anybody else? Okay. team meeting is Sunday, April 12th at 5 p.m. I appreciate everybody calling in and being a part of this today, and now we'll pray. Gracious Father of love, we come before you and we say thank you that you've permitted us to get together this evening. With a humble heart, Father, we bow before you, and with peace in our heart, we give you thanks. There are many things that were discussed tonight. You also shared much with us. Maybe one or the other might feel a little overwhelmed with everything that's taking place in their own personal life. You are the one, Father, who sees every heart, who understands every need, and you are the one who takes care of all of our concerns. See the hearts of everyone on the team as they, Father, bow in front of you and they present to you their cares and concerns for not just themselves but for their families and their extended families. Because, Father, we know that things are going to get a little difficult in the future, but it will not be anything that we cannot handle because you are preparing us now. We pray for a special word on Sunday. We ask already for your forgiveness, Father, for anything that we have done, acted on, said. Anything that caused separation, something we did that we didn't ask for forgiveness for, we do now. Maybe we did something we were not even aware of. We pray, Father, and ask for your forgiveness. Provide your blessing over our leaders. In time, Father, they're going to get to know who all of us are. They're going to understand what purpose we serve. And for the bride, Father, we pray most heartily that they have the faith to stay firm and strong and true and loyal to our big brother Jesus. Provide, Father, what we lack in. We appreciate everything you've done for us. Many on the team have been sick or have felt overwhelmed with different things. Please, Father, send angels to comfort, to strengthen. Help us all to stand strong and healthy, Father, and move forward. And according to what we ask all these things, pray for eternity as always, that you will open their understanding. You will open, Father, their need to come to you, that they will understand, Father, that you are the only one who can help them. Provide strength for our brothers and sisters who work there. And according to your will again, Father, we ask these things and know how much we love you and appreciate you. Thank you. Amen.
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 Amen.